Welcome to the Retail Transformation Show with me, Oliver Banks. This is your weekly podcast, delivering you the insight, ideas, and inspiration to successfully change and transform in our ever-evolving world of retail. Enjoy listening. We talk a lot about the importance of customer experience and loyalty and returning customers. Now, of course, there are many different aspects and elements that go into making these sort of outcomes, from customer service levels to branding to product quality to convenience, price, design, and many, many other factors. But all of these elements ultimately form into one aspect. One aspect that defines if a particular customer will or will not return. And we need to recognize that this one aspect is not the experience in the moment. Instead, it's the memory of the shopping trip. It's how we remember and recall the experience. Well, a very warm welcome to the Retail Transformation Show. My name is Oliver Banks. I'm your host. I'm a retail transformation specialist, and I work with retailers to help drive and deliver meaningful change and transformation. I work as a consultant and advisor to bring strategic goals into reality. I'm also the author of Driving Retail Transformation: How to Navigate Disruption and Change. Thank you very much for tuning in today. This one is episode 295, number 295. And as we approach 300 episodes now, which is really quite incredible, it strikes me that some important topics have been covered, but may have been left buried, so to speak, in the archives. And actually, since the podcast first started back in 2018, before it was cool to have a podcast and before it seemed that everyone had a podcast, during all of those years, my perspective and my experience and, frankly, my voice have all evolved since episode one. So in today's episode, what we're going to do is we're going to resurface one of those potentially buried golden nugget episodes. And it's actually an episode that I remember recording quite distinctly, which seems fitting given that today we're going to be resurfacing episode 59, an episode called Creating Memorable Experiences. Rather than simply replaying that old episode, this is all freshly recorded, with both the original content as well as my new perspective. So there is no need to go and listen to episode 59, unless of course you want to hear some of the retro theme tune from the Retail Transformation Show, as well as how I've developed as well as a host. I believe I have. Interested to hear your thoughts if you go back as well. So let's dive into it. Customer experiences aren't necessarily formed in the moment. That's not what matters most. Instead, these important experiences are formed in the moments after a shopping trip or a particular brand interaction. And even, which we'll touch on later on, they can be formed in the moments before that particular shopping trip or interaction. And so today, we're facing straight into the important question that is, what if experience only exists as a memory of the past? And we recognize that for a customer, the reason to come shopping at your store or on your website, either for the first time or for a repeat visit, is based on a positive memory of your brand combined with the customer lusting for a new positive memory, i.e., we have a good reputation and we want to have a good experience as a result. And so to deliver an experience in the moment and therefore a positive memory for a consumer, we need to be able to carry out a series of intentional, methodical, and operational decisions and actions. I say intentional because we can't just cross our fingers and hope everything works out well for every customer in every store or with every interaction. We need to be methodical because if we don't have a mindset for this, if we are not trying to create a memory, then actually actions and decisions will seem disjointed to colleagues, to customers, and to ourselves. And ultimately, this is going to become easily forgotten and inconsistent across the estate. And I say operational because it's got to be realistic and it's got to be delivered in real life. I don't want this as a theoretical discussion today. So intentional, methodical, and operational decisions and actions are what we need to be thinking about to deliver the experience and, more importantly, the memory. And so what I want to do in this episode is to give you some background to brain science, and I want to inspire you to think differently about your retail operations and your customer experience so that you can give your customers the fantastic service. You can build those positive memories and encourage those repeat visits and repeat custom. Now, I should give a word of warning. I am not a neuroscientist. I am not a brain specialist. However, I do find these topics fascinating and have researched from other people and other sources that, frankly, are far more qualified than I am to be explaining science. But we're going to crack on, and I hope I can make it more accessible for you today based on where I have been curious on this topic. I should also point out that the show notes from today's episode are at obandco.uk/295. That's obandco.uk/295. And as well as some notes from today's episode and additional episodes to check out next, I'm also going to put more information about my retail transformation briefing and how we can work together to develop positive experiences and create great memories. So head on over and discover more right now. So let's continue with this episode, and I'd like you to take a moment to remember. I'd like you to cast your mind back to when you were a child and to remember a great shopping experience that you had. So where were you? What was the shop? Who were you with? What were you doing? What were you shopping for? And then bring that memory to life. What are the specific details that you can remember? How did you feel at the time? And you know, this could be any sort of shopping trip. Maybe you're in your favourite toy shop, shopping with a parent or a family member. Maybe you're out buying clothes or accessories with some friends. Maybe it's accompanying someone else on an important shopping trip, either for you or them. And I'd like to ask, how does it feel? How does it feel looking back at that moment in time that's captured so clearly in your memory? Also consider, would that shopping experience that you are recalling so clearly, would that shopping experience seem out of place in today's retail world? And this is a really important golden nugget from today's episode. We must remember that great shopping experiences stay great. What worked yesteryear will work today, and it will work into the future as well. We may just need to think about how we can bring those memories and those, shall we call them, old-fashioned shopping experiences into the modern retail world, but keeping the essence, keeping the DNA of the experience that has formed such an important and a strong memory for you. And really, we want to be thinking about how we can form these powerful, positive, strong memories for our customers as they are continuing their shopping trips with us today. And I wanted to dive into some of the science, some of the theory behind memories to help us make it more tangible and help understand how we can use the brain and the nuances of the brain to our advantage in this topic. So, what are memories? How are they made and how are they recalled or remembered? So this one blew me away when I first found out. Memories are stored in our brains. No surprises there, of course. But there is actually a physical trace of our memories in our brain and as we recall them. Our brains are hugely complex, as you know. But inside our brains, we've got around 86 billion 86 billion neurons that make up the cerebral cortex. And these neurons or nerve cells are responsible for our different thoughts and our perceptions and our processing. And in a very simple way, they're either activated or deactivated, on or off, shall we call it. And a memory is a specific group and pattern of neurons that are reactivated in the brain. And when our brain sees the same pattern of neural activity, with all these neurons becoming active in a particular sequence, it recalls a particular moment in time. It recalls a memory. So as you think of that childhood shopping trip, a series of neurons are being activated in your head in the same pattern, the same sequence, as they were activated many, many years ago. And it will be the same sequence as it's activated going forward into the future as well, which is fascinating. And of course, memory is a very complex topic, as I'm sure you can appreciate, which in and by itself is a subsection of another complex topic of brain science or neuroscience. And whilst we don't want to go into deep scientific research, I think it's important just to understand a little bit of context about how memory works. And so I'd like to start segmenting different types of memory so that we can start to really focus in on building positive memories from a shopping experience. So to start the segmentation, there's basically two broad types of memory that we can talk about: short-term and long-term memories. Now, short-term memories are really short. We're talking about up to 30 seconds, whereas a longer-term memory is longer than 30 seconds, which could, of course, last for a couple of minutes, or it could, of course, last for years and decades of time. And when we recognize that we've got these two types of memory, long and short-term, we can start to think about how the brain is processing them. And to help us understand, I'd like to think about some of those mundane activities that we do on a daily basis. Maybe it's your regular commute or driving to somewhere that you drive to very often. Maybe it's eating a boring meal. Perhaps it's getting changed. Whatever. It's mundane. It's non-eventful. And what happens is when we try and recall it, we can't remember. And we think, and we may even use the term, we're on autopilot. So we think that it's just happening and our body is doing it automatically. But the truth is that we're not on autopilot per se. We are fully in the moment when it is happening. But we're storing that experience in our short-term memory. So it's lasting for, let's say, up to 30 seconds. So when it comes to later on, whenever that is, we try and remember and we can't think about it. There is no memory. It's just a gaping hole. And we therefore assume we were not thinking about it. We were on autopilot, but we were thinking about it. We've just forgotten it. So when we're designing customer experiences, what do we want? We want to encourage long-term memories. So customers are able to recall days, weeks, months, and hopefully even years into the future. And of course, it probably goes without saying that we're wanting to create positive long-term memories rather than negative ones, but we'll come back to bad memories later on in the episode. Now, as we dive into long-term memories, again, it splits into two different types. Explicit memories are habits and skills and things that we can do automatically, such as making a drink, driving a car, brushing our teeth. These are actions that we want to be able to recall regularly. This is not a visual memory, so to speak. That's an explicit memory. These are things that we are consciously aware of and we are intentionally trying to remember those elements, be it a particular situation, a shopping trip, if you will, or whatever. And so what is it we want to be doing? We want to be creating these explicit memories. And even these explicit memories then break down into a couple of different sections: episodic and semantic. So episodic memories are for things and events that have happened to you, whereas semantic memory is more for general knowledge. So if you're trying to remember specific facts, such as the directions to your nearest supermarket, That's a semantic memory. Whereas remembering the time that that store colleague went the extra mile to help you find the perfect ingredient for that special meal that you were preparing, that's an episodic memory. So what is it we are trying to do here? We're trying to create episodic, explicit, long-term memories for our customers and perhaps for our colleagues as well. And we'll come back to that one a little later on. So knowing this, how do we then create a memory? Well, the first thing is we need to act quickly because 30 seconds is not very long. And we don't want that particular experience falling into the short-term memory and being essentially instantly erased. So information that we absorb as humans is fed into a part of our brain called the hippocampus, which is where the neurons are created and where specific patterns and trends are assigned to a particular memory. So the hippocampus has the job of reviewing all of the information that comes into our different senses, prioritizing whether it's useful information or not, all in real time, of course, this is happening, and then deciding, should we create a long-term memory for this particular piece of information or this particular situation? Basically, the hippocampus is saying, is this moment in time important or should we forget it? So to help us understand, let's think about when a particular world event happens, a meaningful world event. Perhaps that is your favorite sports team winning a trophy or a competition. Or maybe it's a major incident that unfolds in real time on the news. And as you're watching this important moment in real time, your hippocampus is recording it and it's saying, this is a significant moment in time. We are going to create this memory. And as you think back on, let's say, a momentous moment for you, you can remember specific detailed sections of that day or of that particular event. And it's the same if you're a witness to an important event, such as like a wedding or the birth of your child, let's say. You can recall tiny, tiny details of that particular moment. But equally, there's lots of mundane activities that also happened on that very same day that have been forgotten. So the hippocampus is trying to decide whether it should remember a particular moment in time. To do this, it's using our different senses. So how much information is there about this particular moment? So when we're experiencing something ourselves, there are many more senses than, say, if we're watching it on a television. It's also using our emotions as a recognition of how important it is. The more extreme our emotional state is an indicator that this is more significant. And that could be positive or negative. Joy, love, fear, anger. All of these are more extreme levels. And when we feel them, we're more likely to remember. Not guaranteed, of course, many different factors going into this, but more likely. And that's what we want to be playing on as well, the idea of likelihood to create a memory, a positive memory. Also, the likelihood of making something more negative, more forgettable as well. Now, there's lots more about memory that we could go into, but we're not going to, of course. But I did want to very quickly touch on false memories or confused memories. And there have been research studies where individual people have been shown a video of a particular event and then asked a series of questions afterwards. And the way that these questions are phrased can actually adjust the memory. It's possible to suggest an alternative truth, if you will. Equally, police witness statements are also notoriously error-prone. When everything is normal, it's mundane, right? Memories just instantly go into our short-term memory and are forgotten. But then, in this perfectly normal day, an incident occurs. And our hippocampus is saying, ah, this is significant, I should remember this. Perfect, that's exactly what the police are wanting from a witness statement. But then we struggle to recall the mundane aspects from beforehand. They've been committed to short-term memory and they are long gone, right? And so when then the police ask important questions like, for example, was the accused criminal wearing a red coat or a black coat? we might struggle to remember accurately, and we could perhaps even envisage both scenarios. Maybe they were wearing a black coat. Or actually, was it a red coat? It could have been a red coat, could have been a blue coat, whatever, right? Suddenly, we've got inaccuracy in our memory. And for something like a police witness statement, where accuracy is really important, and then when we also multiply this memory across different people and their varying degrees of what they have remembered, it gets to be a very confusing picture. So memory is a science, but it's very much an art as well, if you will. So let's rewind. Let's go back to the hippocampus. We're trying to prioritize what's going on and if we should be storing the information for our long-term memory. We also then need to recognize that memories must be remembered. If they're not recalled ever, the brain essentially says, oh, turns out that wasn't so significant. We didn't need to remember that, and it clears the space. The memory fades and can even disappear completely. And so as we're thinking about this, another aspect from our childhood might be that of revision for tests and exams. Because it turns out that trying to just learn facts and figures was hard. And so without the natural long-term memories being created by a memorable, significant learning experience, we had to turn to revision, repeating the input into our brains in the hope that the hippocampus forms a long-term memory, and then we can remember it for the exam, we can get it out, we can write down the answer, and then we can forget it. If we keep loading the same experience in, perhaps with some slight deviations, the hope is that it sticks. But we want to be able to recall it so that when that moment matters, the memory is available. So overall, as we bring it back into the retail sector here, we want to create firm and lasting memories of a good experience and let the bad experiences be very mundane, very insignificant, so that they fade quickly and are not recalled. Now, we'll come back to bad experiences later on in the episode, but right now I wanted to share with you some different questions and thought provokers so that you can use all of this insight, this science, to create memories of, hopefully, a good shopping experience for your customers. So six different elements here. Firstly, how can you position this shopping trip or this experience as a major and significant moment in time for your customer? How can you essentially signal to their hippocampus that this should be remembered? Examples of this are celebrating a new customer in some way, encouraging that particular person to recognize that this is the start of a beautiful relationship that they should be committing to memory. Equally, how could we welcome back our existing customers, signaling to them that this is the evolution of the relationship? How can we make that moment in time feel like an epic moment? Secondly, how can we empower our people, our teammates, our colleagues, to use their personality to forge stronger relationships with customers? How can we let them essentially emotionally charge the conversation so that the customer feels valued and excited as they're shopping and interacting with the brand and the company? And here, how can we think about adding emotional peaks, positive emotional peaks, to the shopping trip? How can we bring in some aspects like surprise and delight, or pride, or joy, to fit into that experience, into that purchase, or even that prospective purchase? Next, how can we appeal to someone's senses to strengthen the memory? Again, we're signaling to the hippocampus that there is lots of information going on here. This must be significant. And so elements of store design, for example, can be a fantastic memory maker and even a memory jogger as well, where store design brings in what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we touch, and maybe even what we taste. Next up, we're up to number four now. How can we be more effective at saying goodbye to a customer after they've made a purchase with the aim of forming a good final impression and ultimately converting that short-term memory into a longer-term memory. Again, 30 seconds for that short-term memory. That's not long, so we've got to be quick here. We've got to cement that positive moment in time. Equally, on the same avenue, if a customer has not made a purchase, how can we lodge a positive idea into our customers' or would-be customers' heads so that they're not training the brain to think that this was an eventless waste of time that can just be discarded immediately? And of course, why a customer has not made a purchase may be for a number of different reasons. It may be that they're not at that decision point in the customer journey, or it may be an operational or proposition-based challenge. But what is it we can do once again to leave a positive final impression? Next, how can we remind the customer afterwards what was great about the shopping trip? How can we encourage more recall as well as forming the longer term memory? You know, could we give perhaps a memento to prompt the memory? This is one of the reasons why things like photo walls and Instagrammable moments are so powerful, because suddenly we've got photographic evidence that we can come back to a year later on. Oh yes, I remember that. Mementos also can form a lovely little surprise and delight moment. And when it comes to memorable surprises, it's not necessarily the outcome of the surprise that is memorable. To illustrate, think of the moment before you unwrap a present, or before you perhaps pull a Christmas cracker. That anticipation of the surprise can actually be more memorable than the output of, let's say, pulling that Christmas cracker. So the anticipation of the surprise could well be something that you could leverage into your operating model and your customer proposition. So essentially, how can we remind customers of their good experiences and encourage them to regularly recall those memories? And finally, how can you be consistently great, but still add an element of wow to encourage customers to return each time? So here we're blending the repeat revision type experience, you know, drip, drip, drip. I always have a great experience at this store, right? That's the memory. But also with these surprise and delight moments that forge the strongest memories. We encourage those peak emotions to be cemented in. And so with these six different elements, how are you going to take all of these points and include them into your operating model so that this can be a repeatable experience / memory across your store estate and across your entire team of colleagues and essentially across your entire customer base? And here you want to be encouraging that series of intentional, methodical, and operational decisions and actions. This is essentially the operating model for creating memories and memorable experiences. And whilst we, of course, want to be optimistic, we want to think about the great experiences, it would also be unrealistic to think that every single customer interaction is positive. So we do also have to think and consider about bad experiences and bad memories. Now, of course, our primary goal absolutely is not to give a poor experience, not to make that bad memory in the first place. But again, in the real world, it happens. We need to accept that it's not always perfect. At least someone will have a poor experience. And our mission, when it comes to memories, is to not let that experience form a long-term memory. We want to encourage the customer to forget it quickly. So think of a moment when you had a bad experience. Could be anything, right? And like we did with the childhood shopping trip, let's just reflect on that. What was going on? What was happening? Who are you with? Where were you? And let's just think about some of the science that was going on. I'm guessing that bad experience lasted for a significant moment in time. It wasn't over and done with quickly. What were you feeling? What was your emotional state? Again, I'm guessing there were some pretty extreme emotions going on. This is another element that has reinforced that bad memory. But we, of course, don't want our customers remembering all this. We want to quench those bad emotions, quench those feelings, and get it over and done with as quickly as possible so it's less likely to form a significant memory for the customer. So it's absolutely crucial to de-stress the situation and defuse the situation, avoid the conflict, bring those emotional levels much further down towards more neutral elements as quickly as possible. Apologizing is, of course, a great way of doing this, and more specifically, a genuine apology, right? A courtesy apology can actually wind a customer that's also in that extreme emotional state, can wind them up even more, right? Again, I'm sure we've all been there. I certainly have. Essentially, how can we downgrade this moment so that the hippocampus deprioritizes it? How can we make the moment less memorable by perhaps being in a more neutral zone? We don't fire off so many different senses. So the hippocampus is thinking this is a bit more mundane. I'm not going to remember this. How can we begin to change the topic into a more positive note, particularly at the end of the conversation, so the final impression is positive and it's more likely to create a positive short-term memory that hopefully creates a longer-term memory that means it's not so bad as it perhaps could be? Can we give some space and then perhaps even follow up afterwards with a more positive point of view? Again, we're hoping to forge a more neutral or positive memory. But let's say we don't do any of this. Let's say we actually do the opposite. A customer comes in and there is a negative situation. We then put up the defences. We make the customer angrier. We're unhelpful. We're firing off all their senses. We're telling their hippocampus that this is a significant moment in time. Of course we want to stay away from that, but it does happen. So what are those decisions that we need to bake into our operating model to avoid that situation happening? Examples like empowering store colleagues, or customer service colleagues for that matter, to be able to right the wrong without having to get, for example, manager sign-off. That's a great way of diffusing the situation quickly without making it a longer-lasting situation. Training colleagues in conflict management, and again, not getting into that argument, but recognizing the situation from the customer's point of view. A perfect way to bring those emotional levels down. Having somewhere quiet, somewhere neutral in a store can be an excellent way of, again, diffusing the situation. If a customer is trying to get in contact, making sure that they're not waiting, making sure that we're not increasing their emotional levels because they're getting more and more frustrated before we deal with them, right? Or getting them annoyed by passing between different people and making them start their story all over again. Makes them feel dejected, makes them feel like it's a battle, it's me versus them, right? And of course, with the equivalent of revision, when we consistently stack negative, bad experiences on top of each other, either in one shopping trip or over time, we significantly increase the likelihood of that bad memory being formed as a lasting impression for the customer. So when we understand how a memory is made, we can start to engineer a way to create or avoid creating memories given the situation. And I think it's important for us to recognize that the customer's memory is the truth. It may or may not be factual, but for that customer, for that individual person, it is the truth. And if we recognize that, we can be so much more empathetic as we approach a particular customer over time, whether we're trying to get them to recall a good experience or forget a bad experience. And if we are disputing that truth, we are disputing what happened, and if we find ourselves in a situation where it's the retailer's point of view versus the customer's point of view, then we're at conflict. And essentially what happens is the retail brand is essentially calling the customer a liar from the customer's point of view. That's how it feels like. And it evokes more conflict, more strong emotion, and more danger of forming bad memories once again. So we must recognize that the customer's memory is the truth, and it may or may not be the whole truth, and we should be thoughtful and considerate of that. But if we leave a customer with a positive memory, that is a positive truth, that means it's going to be so much more likely that the customer will tell their friends in the future a recommendation. They will come back to visit your store, your website, your app, whatever that is, again. Repeat visits. They're going to be much more likely to trust the company and make repeat purchases. And ultimately, a customer's viewpoint on you or on your brand is made up of many, many different inputs. But the memories and the first-hand experiences are the truth. And that will form a positive reputation. And that will lead to future business success. Now, I've got one final thought to share with you. But first, I would encourage you to head on over to the show notes at obandco.uk/295. And you'll find out more information from today's discussion, as well as additional episodes of the podcast to check out next. And if you'd like to start forging positive memories for your customers, why don't you reach out and let's have a discussion. Let's engage one-on-one and explore your customer propositions and how we could design intentional, methodical, and operational decisions and actions to ensure that positive memories are part and parcel of your experience. We don't leave those great moments in the moment. Instead, we commit them to memory and we form a lasting reputation. So head on over to obandco.uk/295 or reach out to me on LinkedIn. Let me know that you've listened to this episode and it'd be great to discuss further with you. Now, one final thought that I wanted to share with you. We've been talking about customer memories and customer experience, but we all have brains. We all create memories. So consider how you can create those intentional, methodical, and operational decisions and actions for all sorts of experiences. Colleague experiences, team member experiences, supplier experiences, shareholder experiences, your experience. How can you turn all of those moments into significant positive memories that forge ultimately a great culture, a great working environment, a great partnership, and a great business? I'll leave you to think about that one, but I appreciate you listening, and I look forward to joining you on another episode of the Retail Transformation Show very, very soon. Bye for now.